Now in 2 Corinthians 10, I'm going to read the first two verses again. Paul says, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." So when the Apostle Paul was present, preaching the gospel, dealing with the brethren in the church and with sinners, needy sinners that God was drawing to Christ, he was meek and he was gentle. He said to the Thessalonians, in case we want to see how meek and how gentle, he said to the Thessalonians that we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. We were so affectionately desirous of you. We were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but our own souls, because you were dear unto us. That was the spirit Paul had. But in his letters, when he wrote in his letters, he was bold to chasten and correct the things that needed to be corrected. And he did that so that he wouldn't have to be bold when he came to visit. He wanted him to take care of these things before he got there. So when he got there, he could preach the gospel and not have to deal with problems. He said in verse 2, "But I beseech you that I may not be bold," that is, that I may not have to be bold when I'm present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Because Paul was meek when he was present, and because he was bold in his letters, there was some at Corinth who accused him of walking according to the flesh. He accused him of walking in the flesh both in his letters and when he was present. Look at verse 10. "For his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible." When they said his letters are weighty and powerful, they meant he was oppressive. He was harsh. He was severe. They meant he was walking according to the flesh and not after the Spirit in his letters. And then when they said his bodily presence is weak, they meant everything about his bodily presence. His person, his character, his speaking voice. Everything about it. See, they were mistaking humility for walking according to the flesh. They were mistaking that which was of the Spirit of God and calling it walking according to the flesh. When they said his speech is contemptible, they not only meant his stammering tongue, they meant his wisdom and his knowledge. And since Paul didn't preach with excellency of speech and wisdom like the preachers all around him did, they said he walks according to the flesh. He's not preaching by the power of the Spirit of God. And Paul corrects this. He says this humility was produced by the Spirit of Christ. He said in verse 1, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." That's how I beseech you. It's by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And here's what it makes me do. In presence, I'm base among you, but being absent, I'm bold towards you. Go over to 1 Corinthians 2. I want you to see this. So everything his enemies, everything Paul's enemies thought was the power of the Holy Spirit, everything that they deemed to be the power of the Holy Spirit, Paul did not do that. He refused to do those things. The things that these men thought was walking in the power of the Spirit. But the things that these men said was walking according to the flesh, Paul did those things because that was the power of the Holy Spirit. Look, 1 Corinthians 2, and look at verse 1. "I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He's saying all of that right there, everything that he just described, that was all by the power of the Holy Spirit to make him humble and to cause him to preach only Christ and stay out of the way. And he did it, he says, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So you see, this is what I want us to see today in our text. The power of the Holy Spirit creates humility in the believer so that he makes us deal with brethren and with needy sinners that God's drawing to Christ. He makes us deal with them in meekness and gentleness. But that same Spirit also makes you be bold toward those who are enemies. Now that's the work of the Spirit. That's not just, he might work that in some, not in others. No, that's what he works in his people. Now first of all, the meekness and gentleness of Christ himself. This is what I want to look at. He says there, the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I'm speaking by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Let's see the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Now many, you know, will appear to be humble whenever they know that they're overpowered or there's no way they can defeat their enemy or they're outnumbered or something like that. People appear to be humble in that case. That wasn't the case with Christ. Christ was meek and gentle when he was the strongest one among us. Christ is God. He's the Son of God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was in the form of God and thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And yet he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. He became obedient even to the death of the cross. But he's all powerful, and that's what he did. You know, there's something special about a man who is a giant, and yet is very gentle and meek. He grabs your attention. Because you know he can snap you in two in a heartbeat if he wanted to. But he's meek and he's gentle. Christ had all power in heaven and earth, but he's meek and he was gentle. When John the Baptist first preached Christ, he looked up and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now he said that because he is that Lamb that God promised he would provide himself. But also, you think about it, a Lamb is the most gentle and meek creature there is. A lamb doesn't have any defenses to hurt anybody. It can't even defend itself. A lamb. And as he walked this earth, though he was God all-powerful, Christ was meek and gentle in that he submitted himself entirely to God his Father, trusting the Father to protect him, trusting the Father to draw his people to him, trusting the Father to show him where his sheep were. And Christ did nothing through strife or vainglory. He didn't strive to make anything happen. He didn't argue with men and fight with men. And he did nothing for vainglory. He wasn't trying to just be right so that he could get glory for being right. He did nothing through strife or vainglory. Scripture says, but in lowliness of mind. That's how Christ esteemed others better than himself, in lowliness of mind. He never looked only on his own things. He always looked on the things of others. He was always going about seeking how he could help poor, needy, oppressed sinners. Always. When he walked this earth. And his gentleness of spirit is seen that in this, he said, "I didn't come to judge the world. I came that the world might be saved." He didn't come to condemn. We were already condemned. We were already dead in sin. He didn't come to condemn us. He came that through him many might be saved. That's why he came. You see the meekness and gentleness of Christ? He had power. On one occasion, that demoniac, he had power to command the evil spirits to come out of that man. and gave permission to go into a herd of pigs, and they ran headlong off a cliff. He had that power. And yet we see him so meek and so gentle, drawing his people to himself in such tenderness and saying to them, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto yourselves. Can you imagine if he came in power without us knowing him? If he just was in unveiled splendor, like they saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration. Nobody would have come to him. Men wouldn't have come to him. But he said, come, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. I'll teach you. I'll instruct you. I won't whip you. I'll be gentle with you. I'll be meek with you. But understand this too, Christ's gentleness and his meekness was not weakness. It was not weakness. He defended the helpless. He was meek and gentle towards the helpless, but he was very bold towards his enemies. He was very bold towards the self-righteous Pharisee. He stood toe-to-toe with them and called them a generation of vipers. He stood toe-to-toe with them and said, you're children of the devil. He was bold toward those who were oppressing sinners and whipping sinners and abusing God's law and changing God's word and making commandments of themselves. He was very bold towards them. And yet, even in their case, after all was said and done, what did he say to them? He stood without Jerusalem and he said, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you like a chicken gathers her little ones under her wings, and you would not. And also, Christ's humility, it didn't mean he was ignorant of men's characters. He knew the heart of every man he came in contact with. He knew what was in the heart. And that was part of the reason he was gentle and meek toward his people. Because knowing our heart, he knows that we're dust. He knows the difficulties we have because of our sinful flesh. He knows the depravity of the human heart by nature. He understands why we stumble and fall and the troubles that we have. He's walked where we walk. He's experienced the weakness of our flesh in the Garden of Gethsemane. Though he never sinned, though he never failed, he knows when he said to them, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, he knew that by experience when he walked as a man. And this is one of the reasons he was meek and gentle. You know, when his disciples thought he was a spirit, remember that when he was walking on the water and they thought he was a spirit walking on the water? Did he yell at them and rebuke them and call them ignorant and call them names? He said, be of good cheer. It's I. Be not afraid. That's what you do with somebody you love. You want them to be of good cheer. You don't want them to be afraid. When Peter and John hit their face on the Mount of Transfiguration, when God spoke, and they hit their face, and what did Christ say to them? Arise, be not afraid. Whenever Paul was at Corinth, he was there, and Paul had been rejected by everybody at Corinth. And he was having his doubts. He was thinking about leaving Corinth, remember? And the Lord came to him by night in a dream, and he said, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. Christ knows the heart of his people. We don't know the heart of sinners. You remember Eli when he walked out on the porch and there was Hannah out there, had her eyes closed, praying. He thought she was drunk. He scolded her with all kind of boldness and pride and arrogancy. And there she was praying to the Lord. See, we don't know a man's heart. We know Christ was meek and lowly and patient and forbearing because he knew everything in the hearts of men. We ought to be very careful of condemning others. I don't know their heart. Don't try to separate the wheat and the chaff. You pull up the chaff and leave the wheat. Pull up the wheat and leave the chaff. Knowing the sinfulness of His people, Christ dealt gently, even in His rebuke. Even when He had to rebuke His people, He did it gently. He didn't do it harshly. And you think about it, how many statements, how many times did His disciples make such foolish statements? Say things that were just ignorant things to say. And He would just overlook it. He even said to them on one occasion, you'll have preachers every now and then come along and they'll tell you, you've got to know this or you've got to know that or you've got to know the other, you can't be saved. That's a lie. That's a lie. God will make His people know what we got to know. Christ said to His disciples, there's many things I want to tell you, but you can't bear them right now. He said to them, there's a lot of things you don't know right now. But when the Spirit's come, He'll guide you into all truth. This was meekness and gentleness. And though He was meek and gentle, He wasn't indifferent to justice and holiness. Sometimes we can be meek and gentle just simply because we're indifferent to sin. We're so accustomed to sin. And sometimes we'll just appear to be gentle towards sin because we're just accustomed to it. It's a matter of indifference to you. It ought not to be, but that's true. And as we walk this earth, as He walked this earth, Christ was meek and gentle, but He Himself was perfectly holy and righteous. He was perfectly holy and righteous. He taught His apostles to do that which was right. When they came and they wanted taxes from Him, He knew they were abusing and they were collecting taxes. They weren't collecting taxes from their own people. They were collecting taxes from the poor people. He knew that. He knew it was injustice. But what did He tell His apostles? Give Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. He was all for that which was holy and just. That's why He came. He loved righteousness and He hated iniquity. He came to this earth to declare the righteousness of God. That's the whole reason He came. He came to manifest how God can be just and justifier. How God can pour out His justice on sinners who've broken His law and yet at the same time be the justifier, justifying those very same sinners. That's why Christ came. He's the only one who could do that. And He did it by laying down His life, the just, for the unjust. He was meek and He was gentle, even while He satisfied justice. While He was manifesting the righteousness of God, He humbled Himself, it said, and became obedient even to the death of the cross. John began announcing Christ with these words, "Behold the Lamb of God." And in the end, you know what Isaiah said about Him? He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. When He was reviled, He reviled not again. He was meek and He was gentle. Why? Why didn't He open His mouth? Why didn't He? He could have easily. He said to Peter, I could call on my Father right now and He would send 12 legions of angels. Why didn't He do that? Because He knew He had one weapon. And that one weapon was to allow wicked sinners with wicked hands to nail Him to that cross, where He bare the sin of His people and bare the wrath and justice of God and satisfy and honor God's law forever and justify His people from all our sins. He knew that was His one weapon, laying down His life on that cross. So He didn't open His mouth. And by that, He established righteousness and He purged His people of all our sin. He made His people righteous and purged us of our sins. Now, briefly, I want to talk about the Spirit of Christ that makes the believer meek and gentle. Makes us meek and gentle in our dealings with brethren and with needy sinners. Paul here said it's by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. He's not just saying, I'm wanting you to be meek and gentle like Christ, or I'm just trying to be meek and gentle like Christ. He's saying, by the Spirit of God in me, He's made me meek and gentle. And I'm beseeching you the way I am by the Spirit of Christ making me meek and gentle. See, Paul had experienced the meekness and gentleness of Christ, and he'd experienced the boldness of Christ. He experienced them both on the road to Damascus. When he was marching down that road and the Lord arrested him on the road to Damascus, the Lord was bold when He spoke to him and put him in the dust. And then the Lord was meek and gentle to him and told him, revealed Himself to him. And it changed Paul completely. It changed his whole way of dealing with men. Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus, the Scripture says he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, and committed them to prison. He was a tyrant when he was Saul of Tarsus. He was arrogant, proud, and self-righteous, and self-exalting, and always blaming everybody else for everything that went wrong. That's the flesh. Listen to this. Go to Galatians 5. I want you to see this and hold your place there. Galatians 5. I want you to notice this. Verse 19. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. We say of those things, oh, that's bad stuff right there. Well, let me show you something that's just as bad. Hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envying. And those harsh dealings with others, that being hateful and being striving and railing and all that on people, that's in the same list with this. Look, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, they're all in the same list together. You know, just because a man doesn't commit murder, we all not think he's better because he just, I'm just hateful as I can be, and I just rail on everybody and blame everybody else, but I don't commit murder. Well, you're just as bad as a murderer. They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But now, Paul is beseeching by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. There's been a whole different spirit put in him. Look here, Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. That's the fruit of the Spirit. When we have experienced the power of Christ's boldness and the power of His meekness, that's when we know, brethren, that though we walk after the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. We've got one weapon. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. It's Christ working from glory, sending the Holy Spirit and giving a sinner a new heart. You know that now because He had to do that to you to give you a new heart. And so when we're dealing with one another now, we don't have to nitpick one another and try to hold one another's feet to the fire and be harsh and be overbearing and oppressive toward one another. We can wait on the Lord. We can wait on the Lord. We don't condone sin, but as long as the sin is not interfering with the gospel, and it's not interfering with others hearing the gospel of Christ, we can overlook a lot of things while we wait on God to fix it. Because God will fix it. If there He is, God will give my heart and He'll correct it. He can do it a lot better than I can do it. And that's true meekness and gentleness. When, you know, Moses is called the meekest man on earth. Why? Because in all the troubles he dealt with, you read through that wilderness journey and find how many times in the midst of all the trouble you find Moses on his face before God. That's meekness and gentleness, to trust God to handle it rather than you taking it by your own hand and trying to handle it. So as we use this one weapon, we do so in meekness and gentleness. And so that men's faith stands in the power of God and not in the wisdom of men. And I want you to understand that applies to everything. That applies to our dealings with our children, with our wives, wives with their husbands. That applies to our dealings with brethren. That applies to our dealings with our friends. Sometimes I think we think that only applies to the preacher preaching the gospel. That you don't want men's faith to stand in the power of God. And then we'll corner somebody at work and get to talk to them about certain doctrine and we'll just buttonhole them and just get to pressing them and like we're going to make them believe it. If you make them believe it, somebody or something else can make them not believe it. But if the Spirit of God makes them believe it, He got them. They'll believe Him. See, we don't want it, and this is our dealings at home, this is our dealings in the church, this is our dealings at work, this is our dealings in our community. Scripture said of Christ, He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause His voice to be heard in the street. Listen to this, a bruised reed. You ever seen a bruised reed? Bruised reed is that reed that's, it can't stand up anymore, it's bent over, it's broken, and it's just, it looks like it's just take nothing to snap it into. It's a bruised reed. He said, a bruised reed shall he not break. That sinner who's just weak and so bent in sin and trouble, he won't break them. That woman caught in adultery, they brought, and all those men were saying, this is what Moses says, what do you say? Who was he bold toward? The men that brought her. Who was he meek and gentle toward? That bruised reed. I'm beginning to think Christ doesn't like self-righteous, haughty, arrogant, that arrogant spirit. That's right. Those being oppressed, he deals with meekness and gentle. Bruised reed shall he not break. The smoking flax shall he not quench. You know, smoking flax just stinks and it's like a candle that or a piece of wood that when you're trying to light it and it's not quite lit yet, it's just smoking. But he wouldn't put it out. He would keep working with it. Get the flame going. He wouldn't put it out. He's talking about sinners. He's talking about how he dealt with sinners. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. You remember when his disciples, they went out and they came back and there was men that were casting out devils, and they came back and they said, you want us to cry down fire on them? And he rebuked them for that, having that severe spirit. You don't know what spirit you're of, he said. No, I don't want you crying down fire on them. So, go to James 3 with me. James chapter 3. By His Spirit working in us, brethren, Christ makes His people sow this gospel, and in all our dealings with men, doing that which is right, that which He tells us to do, we sow in peace. Look here, James 3, and look at verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? See, if you have knowledge, it has to be endued upon you by God. Let him show out of a good conversation, good conduct, good way about him, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. I'll be honest with myself now. If I have that spirit toward my wife, my children, my father, my mother, my loved ones, my co-workers, it didn't come from God. That spirit didn't come from God. That's devilish. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. But, watch this, the wisdom that is from above is first pure. And then, watch this, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. Easy for men to come up to you and ask you a question. Easy for them to come up to you and speak honestly to you. Because they're not worried about being railed upon. They're not worried about you looking down on them. They're not, you know, easy to be entreated. Full of mercy and good fruits. Without partiality, don't treat one different than the other. Without hypocrisy. And watch this now. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. That sinner God's going to bless His Word to have some spiritual benefit upon another sinner is going to be through that sinner sowing that Word peacefully. You know, I think it was Brother Scott Richardson that gave the illustration, and he said, if you take corn and you got some chickens around and you just sling that corn at those chickens, they'll scatter before they come back and eat. But if you just drop that corn gently, they'll come right up there all around you and feed all around you. We sow in peace gently rather than harshly. So if there's a spirit, brethren, of Christ in you, then crucify the affections and the lust. He said, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory. Let us not provoke one another, envy one another. You want to see others obedient to Christ? It's only going to be performed by Christ. It's only going to be worked by the Spirit of God. So the best thing you and I can do is whatever it is that upsets you, overlook that part, and sow in peace to them. Speak gently to them. Speak kindly to them and speak truthfully to them. But not to exalt yourself and not to belittle them and not to whip them so peacefully. And as that gospel is going forth in peace, Christ will work in the heart of His people. And He'll bring that person to be the kind of person that you hope they'll be. He'll make them so. But I can't do it. If I start trying to take that matter into my hand, do you know how wicked that is? That's trying to usurp the throne of God. That's trying to usurp Christ's authority for me to deal harshly and so overbearingly with somebody and try to force them to be like I want them to be. That's taking Christ's throne. That's why it's devilish. The devil says, I'll ascend unto God. I'll be like the Most High. That's why it's devilish. That's what we're saying when we do that. The Spirit of Christ makes you humble and meek in your dealings with one another. It makes you ashamed of your sin. Makes you ashamed when you don't deal with people gently and meekly. Now, brethren, when we see Christ, we see how gently and meek, we think about how He dealt with us and still deals with us. What could be a better constraint than the love of Christ and His dealing with us? To make us want to deal with our brethren and with needy sinners the same way that Christ has dealt with us. No better motive whatsoever. I pray God will bless that. All right, Brother Eric.